Now he's just jetted into the studio, intrepid traveller, explorer, all-round adventurer himself, Moncon McGann. Moncon, how are you doing? Are you all right?
I'm very happy.
Travel-wise, yes. What things are we going to talk about today?
I want to talk about the concept of solo travel, of travelling on your own. So, like, I've now been travelling for a quarter of a century, 26 years, and basically all of that, you know, has been travelling on my own. The very first year I ever travelled, I went with a group on the back of a truck to Africa, and I promised never again. And the thing is, people feel scared of travelling on their own.
Right, because of the truck or because it was other people?
It was the other people, yeah, yeah. The truck was amazing, Africa was phenomenal, but if you're stuck on the back of a space, you know, of a moving machine, war is sort of an ex-army truck for 7 months with 20 people, you soon realise all the terrible elements of them. So, you know, I didn't travel again because that you're crammed with too many people. But the big problem with traveling on your own is that people feel lonely. So, and particularly women don't feel safe. So I just want to go through those elements. You know, the reason everyone wants to get away, and it's often hard to find someone to go away with, but they think, I'm not going to be safe or I'm going to feel lonely.
Okay, that's one way of putting it. Could I say also that people who have never travelled alone often describe their first solo trip as an almost religious experience?
Yeah, well, they do, yeah. I mean, because let's say you wake up in the morning and when you're with your old schoolmate or your spouse, like that first 2 hours is going to be gone. You're going to be lying in bed or, you know, just talking about things from back home or memories. But
good
if you
point.
Wake up
yeah.
on your own, yeah. you're totally raw, you're totally aware. It can be lonely, but all your senses are way more extreme. And what happens then is you never need to compromise. So let's say if you're going by the Niagara Falls and you decide you just want to drive straight by.
You're always right.
Yeah, exactly. And let's say you want to try something new that other way, you know your friend or your spouse or your lover is going to say, you can't do that. You can try to do that. So you immerse yourself way deeper in the country. You know, like Ireland's greatest traveller, Dervla Murphy, travelled entirely on her own. And this is, you know, she started travelling going to Nepal in 1966.
A lot of bicycles, the wheels within
exactly.
wheels. Fantastic.
And so she's been travelling all her life since from 1966 until now. If you're on your own, you'll have people coming up to you. You're actually always with other people, particularly with this lonely planet trail. You know, everyone knows from what.
So if you're on your own, you're always with other people.
Exactly. And you're always with other people rather than being with the one person you decide to come away with. And you can drop them at a minute's notice. Just go back to the next hostel or the guest house and find someone else.
Sorry, am I gleaning from this that you would definitely prepare to be travelling on your own?
Yes, I would definitely.
100%.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, that said, like, I did fall in love last year and I probably will never get to travel alone again. But I know what I want to do is I want to encourage the people who would like to travel more but feel afraid. The biggest hurdle, I suppose, that gets in the way is the single supplement.
People the think single supplement, okay.
Yeah, you know, you suddenly see a nice, like, it's €39 for the bed, and then it says PPS, and yeah. suddenly it's going to be €80. But that is becoming less of a problem. Thank God America's got rid of that whole single supplement concept, and more there's ways of getting around it. If a hotel is only per room booking and doesn't have single rooms, you know, if you book last minute or if you turn up at the doorstep, it's likely they're going to do you a deal. You can see it from their perspective. Like they say, it's costing the same amount to clean.
To heat it and light it and clean it is costing the same amount. If it's four or five, etc. But they're making more money out of the four or five eventually, and they're not going to make as much
money.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. And there have been these different companies who have been sort of fighting our fight, fighting the cause of the sad loner who doesn't want to Jimmy no friends.
Do you often see supplements and then suddenly at the last minute they say, look, it doesn't matter about that kind of thing?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so for them it's just an extra way of getting money. But ultimately, if the room is going to be empty, they're going to welcome you in. Whatever price.
Right.
So there's companies in America that do this thing of room matching. Let's say you want to go somewhere, and particularly, you know, in a place which does insist on single supplements, for example, cruise ships and things, you know, where it's really focused on getting two people in every room, then there's organizations. One is called G Adventures or Intrepid Travel, but the best one is Rhodes Scholar. So since 1976, this is mainly known about in America, but Rhodes Scholar have organized like 5,500 adventures all over the world in 150 different countries, and they now claim that 5 million people have gone on the trips. And the idea, it's a non-profit travel organisation, okay, aimed at giving people new experiences, at widening their horizons. So it'll be focused on places that we sort of don't quite understand, like Cuba, or in giving a historical or cultural aspect to
so
Greece.
It will be focused. What exactly will be focused?
It basically, it's a tour, okay, but it's a tour of open-minded people who are curious about getting to know the history of the place and the local people and to meet the local people. So Rhodes Scholar, it's just like a tour travel company with anywhere else, but it's not based on having amazing, you know, meals. deal, and they'll find you someone else to share your room once you say, you know, the sort of favourites and the things you might
like. And the
like.
Best thing is, what it costs, it costs. There's no hidden ones.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Now, what about this whole idea of finding a travel companion online?
Yeah, so I mean, the Thorntree Cafe, Lonely Planet's, you know, huge sort of online forum, now has like almost 500,000 users. So if you go on that and post up a line saying that you're going any corner in the world and you're looking for someone else to join you, you'll soon find other people. And then you sort of tic-tac between them, basically emailing them for a few months to seeing, are they the sort of person you want to travel with? But the problem, you know, is specifically suited to women, and particularly in the last few years in India, because of all those scare stories about women being attacked on buses, and which, you know, as we know, was not an element in India when you and I, like, were travelling. Like, that whole thing of going across Africa long ago was entirely safe. Mm. But there was a woman from the travel show in BBC, Christine Davies, who was going into the outback of Australia, and again had heard these stories about being on lonely highways and trouble, and wanted someone with her. She didn't know, she didn't care who it was, and her sister said, look, I know a friend who also wants to travel out back, and they went and they had an amazing experience, and she said she got so much out of it, because there is this element, if you have a second person with you, you have more confidence, so you're going to go into the pubs at night, you're going to talk to people, so that sort of that goes against my earlier argument.
It does. I was just going to say, but not only that, like, where are you talking about here? This isn't off kilter kind of holiday. This is anywhere and everywhere, is it?
Yeah. Right. I mean, you know, it was weird. The sort of the websites and the articles about travelling alone tell, some of the examples they say is like, go bungee jumping in New Zealand or cloud forest walking in Costa Rica. Nothing could be sadder than going bungee jumping, because bungee jumping in New Zealand is a thing people do in gangs and crowds. Yeah, if you do not do that, and do not go to a nightclub at 10 o'clock at night, you know, which is hopping in Ibiza, you know, where everyone knows everyone. And
well,
you're
then hold on a second. Are you telling me that if you're on your own, you sort of, you give it up by 7 o'clock in the evening, you go to bed and get up early the next morning and do things, as opposed to that nighttime experience, which you're saying almost has to be with other people?
Yeah, what I'm saying is, during the day, you get to know local people, you get invited into their houses, and then they bring you out. Or let's say now, thanks to all these couch surfing things and Airbnb, you get to know the local owners. So there's a million ways of doing it. Yeah, but you know, you realise you're going to have to rely on the people themselves rather than the friends you're bringing away. Anyway, this woman from Christine Davies, because she got on so well in Australia, she set up this company, Thelma & Louise, which is basically women meeting women who want to go on holiday together. And Thelma & Louise run some trips of their own, so like a trip to Carmen in Seville to see Carmen, or to have tea at Fortnum & Mason's, or to Kerala, you know, down in the south of India. And that's a sort of, it's for a particular type of woman, sort of middle class, sort of, you know, well-heeled woman. But that's a nice option.
Well, so is this a kind of an eat, pray, love kind of thing, but for somebody with not just you, but with somebody else as well?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been on it because I'm male, but that's certainly the whiff I get off.
And would you find that a lot of females who'd like to go solo would also like to go to a thing where there aren't necessarily other blokes, and they feel a bit more comfortable, even though they know there's going to be a crowd, and they kind of know there's going to be a crowd part of it, and they're into the crowd part of it, if you know what I mean?
That's it, exactly. I mean, I have this conversation so often with men. You know, they'll always say, oh, I'm going off to New Zealand, going to mates, we're going to stop in Singapore. But women, they want to go to South America and they want to feel India, but they say they feel awkward. And I keep on saying there isn't a problem. There's a nice company in America called Trek Dirt Series, which is about mountain biking or biking, but it's for women specifically. Rather than chasing the men who are going to be always, you know, going to be tearing off ahead, some of these sports, adventure sports, are an amazing way of travelling alone. Because let's say if you find yourself suddenly in a two-man tent with 10 people sharing a bottle of vodka in the middle of a storm, you're going to get to know everyone else in your group very bloody quickly.
Yeah.
You know, then it just, you have to hope they're nice, as opposed to my Africa trip.
So go on, give us a few more of those. Like, what's the boulder bus for rock climbing, for instance?
That's a bus that regularly leaves London going down to Fontainebleau in Paris, the great rocks there. And again, you can turn up there on your own in the bus. By the time you reach Fontainebleau, everyone's going to know each other on the bus. Like Camino Ways, you know, this whole follow, the Camino has been the big thing in the last few years. And again, everyone talks to each other on that trail. And the two big companies that have sort of helped it in Ireland is Camino Ways and then Follow the Camino, two sort of rival companies. But one of those have started a new one, Francigena Ways, which is about this walk from London down to Italy. Now, there's less people on that trail. So, if you know, the problem with the Camino in July and August is bloody, you're beating away the people. It's impossible to have a bit of silence. The other one, this new route from Canterbury Cathedral down through France, Switzerland, and into Italy, you'll be entirely on your own. But they will hook you up. That Francigena Ways.
Okay, hold on a second, Monk. From what I heard from the first 3 minutes of what you've been saying, you've been kind of dissing it for the last 10, because even though it's go going alone. It's to meet other people.
Because I'm trying to encourage people to at least leave Ireland on their own. Because I get so many people who I know would open themselves up to the magical and life-changing experience of travel. But they all say, yeah, but my friend dropped out last minute or I couldn't get anyone else with the money to go. So what I'm just trying to, I'm playing a double blind here. I'm trying to convince them to go. But I know, I'm hoping when they get there, they'll have no friends and they will be able to totally immerse themselves in every moment.
Okay, accommodation, by the way, besides the tents and the bottle of vodka and all the rest of it. I mean, what are we talking about here? Hotels and hostels and the, you know.
As you know, the cheaper hotel, the more likely you're going to get to know people, and particularly these Lonely Planets. Let's see if you go in either pick up your Lonely Planet guide or Rough. I mean, I've always stuck with Lonely Planet, but Rough Guide or whatever whatever guidebook you have, and you go to the budget section and you pick you choose the number one choice, whatever they've chosen the number one. That's what every other backpacker is going to choose as well. Okay, so once you're in the lounge, the chatting lounge, the TV lounge, or up on the balcony, everyone's going to be talking, and you immediately, you know, hook up with other people. Whereas if you're in a posh hotel, there's no chance to talk to anyone.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
The problem with hostels is some of them can be just too loud. They're just full of drunken Australians. And again, you feel miserable with everyone laughing uproariously and you're there on your own.
But like if you go the camping route, you don't get the kind of the single supplement tax, if you like.
No, exactly. There's none of that.
In fact, it's a bonus.
Yeah. I mean, camping is always per person in the tent, you know.
Yes.
So you are never paying for any extra room than you're using yourself. And, you know, there's this camaraderie in a campsite. Like I was in a campsite in Connemara about a month ago, and the minute you arrive in, all your neighbours are offering you a cup of tea and say, you know, lighting up the gas stove and offering you sausages. So you cannot be alone in a campsite.
Okay,
so,
have you ever done a cruise? I've never done a cruise.
I've never done a cruise.
Have you not?
No,
in all your travels, you've never done a cruise.
I have refused.
I thought you were an expert in all this.
I have refused. As a travel journalist, the main thing you do is refuse trips to Dubai and cruises. You know, that's all they want to give you. No.
What's wrong with Dubai?
You know, this week I decided I might do Dubai because they say there's a new underground grassroots arts sort of community in Dubai, so I might finally. But I will never go back on the cruise thing. No.
Okay. What about the tour thing? The taking a tour. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, you know, more and more, I think Berlin started with these free tours where local people, students, would give tours to a different place. And again, it's whoever's in the town that day is meeting up, and you're getting to chat because these are friendly camaraderie things. You're getting to see a city, but you're also getting to engage with new people who you can easily go out for a drink with that night, if, as you say, you're that desperate to always have someone else, and if you're that afraid of loneliness. If you're that afraid of loneliness, you have a psychological problem. We need to embrace loneliness.
Right. Okay, by the way, just before we go any further, we're still talking about females setting off probably from Ireland alone, are we?
And lonely men.
I thought we were still on women, I wasn't sure.
Okay, no.
Because I know you're going to mention stitch and bitch, and that's not for blokes.
No. So, you know, New York can seem very intimidating, and there's some nice ways of getting to know people in New York. Stitch and bitch is basically just a gathering of women who knit together, and anyone is welcome at their weekly gathering. And it's an immediate way of, it's just whatever your interest is. Like when I'm in Paris and I was feeling a bit lonely, I went to a Five Rhythms dance class. Now you don't want to know what Five Rhythms dance class is, but I, you know, immediately, whatever your passion is, if it's beekeeping, whatever, you just immerse yourself in those people who are surrounding
right.
you, and they'll welcome
Monica,
you.
Monica, what's Five Rhythms?
My toes curl the first time someone explained it to me. It's one of these horrible middle class dance things that I unfortunately.
Oh, really? Okay. By the way, like, I mean, when you talk about the stitch and bitch thing, is it a little bit like playing chess in Central Park kind of thing? Is it loose and easy? And
yeah, and it's just a gathering of people who want to knit and want to chat. It's like a book club, but it's hard to engage and get into a book club. But book readings are easy to get into. And in New York Magazine, nymag.com, will always have a list of whatever readings are on the time. And if you know the author, you're gonna you know, be able to talk to the people. There's cuddle parties are the big thing. Naked yoga is the big thing in New York. If you really want to engage with people immediately, just go to a naked yoga session. But cuddle parties, you know, this thing where people gather together. It's big in Germany and Scandinavia too, and just hug each other and cuddle.
Yeah. I do that with my team every morning before we do a radio program.
You see?
There we go. Yeah. Off we go.
Good.
Okay, so what about spas and festivals and all those kind of things?
Spas.
Are you scraping a barrel here now?
Festival people do always. You're always going to engage with each other at a festival, particularly after 6-7 o'clock.
No, because I would know a lot of people, and I would know people who would go solo, and I would know females who would go solo to certain music and rock festivals, for instance, in Spain or whatever the big ones, Benicassim and all these kind of things, Roskilde, etc., and just go on their own.
Because it's that idea of being frail and being vulnerable in the world, which is like. like this is getting zen, but that's a secret to really working, enjoying the world, you know. Show your vulnerability and suddenly people come up to you.
I must say, if I had a choice now of going with somebody or not with somebody, I'd go with somebody. Male, female, don't care. I'd just rather go on a holiday, or I'd rather go off exploring something with somebody else. I wouldn't be great solo.
Yeah, I know, but
I think I wouldn't.
No.
Have I ever tried it? No.
No, I just, but you mightn't be the greatest example of a human being. Like, you love social, you love talking. Like, you like talking, you love social, you know, interaction. Like,
I do. Yeah. As he digs a hole. Okay, go on, let's go on to something else then. Well, like, I mean, like, if you're going on a kind of a total, not necessarily kind of eat, pray, love thing, but a cultural kind of trip.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, all the cultural institutions in Ireland in recent years, because the cutbacks, have set up, you know, the Friends of the National Gallery or the National Concert Hall, and they all organise regular trips. And the thing about them is they get amazing access to different places. First, the people who go on them all have the same interests. So you're probably going to know them from whatever, from the National Gallery or the Concert Hall or the Chester Beatty Library. Chester Beatty Library does amazing trips. So it'll always be a trip with some sort of Asian theme to it.
Brilliant. So you can get in touch with Chester Beatty here. I can check it up on the web and just see what they have. And the National Concert Hall as well, they kind of have a connection around Europe.
Yeah, exactly. So like the National Concert Hall are associated with the Friends of the Concert Hall in all the other countries around the world. So when they go, they'll get into the Lincoln Center, they'll get, you know, they'll get behind the scene tours. If they go to a concert in Berlin, then the local friends of the Berlin, you know, Philharmonia or whoever, will come out and engage them and chat to them. So you immediately, it's just a way of engaging with people. And it's also, you're helping the cultural institution. The RDS have one.
The RDS, now the Royal Dublin Society. You've done that, have you? Or you've gone to whatever it was that they might have connected you to.
Exactly, yeah. So what they do is, because they're a private club, you know, as well as being everything else, but so they have reciprocal relationships with Lansdowne Club in Mayfair and the St. James's Club in Paris. And, you know, it's another glimpse in the world to get into these, or the Gymkhana Club in Delhi, to see behind the scenes of these classic sort of late 19th century clubs. And you're also, you're sort of helping the organisation. But it all depends. Like, if you're into gardening, like the Horticultural Society of Ireland, their contact book, like, they will organise a holiday, but it'll be down to see, like, secret apothecary gardens in the Cap d'Antibes, or, like, it'll be into sort of the royal paddocks in Cheshire. The access that they get is phenomenal. So you're with people with the same interest, and you're also getting access to places that as a normal tourist you're not going to get.
And the National Gallery and the Friends of the Crawford Gallery and all the rest, the British Museum tours and all that kind of thing.
Cart in the O'Riordan, she was a really great fan of the British Museum tours. She said they were a raucous. Like, the British Museum, they were just, these were people who...
Was there alcohol involved?
They would seriously go away to party. Yeah, exactly. Right. So, you know, it's not all sort of cultural.
No pigs or anything? No. Not that kind of bullying.
No, she says it wasn't half as posh, because I thought it would have been. No, she says they were just really cultural, and a wide group of people who are interested in different elements of things. But that's a way of, you know, just helping. The Crawford Gallery in Cork also do it. So if you're sort of if you need to be with people with a Munster dialect and a cultural element when you're touring the world, they are worthwhile.
Okay, by the way, when you were touring the world, is that when you found love, or was it here?
Unfortunately, no. I've toured the bloody whole world. I was sure I was going to bring back...
And the next door neighbour, the girl next door.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
All right, but seriously, like, if one wants to go off and say, the world is my lobster and I'm going to do this and I'm going to find love.
Yeah, yeah.
Would you have any recommendations?
Yeah, because again, you know, the minute
check
we're...
Check next door.
The minute we are... Actually, I was sort of holidaying. I was holidaying west of Ireland. The minute we are out of our comfort zone, we are more open. We are more vulnerable, and we're just open to seeing, to trying new experiences that we wouldn't normally do. And particularly if it's a group and if you're doing something extreme, if you're hiking or, you know, cycling or snorkeling or whatever. So there's a lot of sort of holiday organisations have focused on this, on finding good events and teaming it up with solo people. And some of the big ones are solitairehalls.co.uk, which is just Solitaire is the company name, or Just You. JustYou.co.uk is more focused on... It's not about necessarily shacking up at the end, whereas Solitaire Halls is definitely it. Sometimes it'll be really ruthless, like it'll just be renting a house in the Black Forest and putting as many people into it as possible with loads of bedrooms. So, which can be just a bit, you know, in your face. It depends on what level of immediate intimacy you want. like skiing.
What about, well, skiing, I think we haven't mentioned the cold yet. I mean, tell me about the Pylon High Club.
Yeah, basically, you know, I mean, we know, you know, a lot goes on in après ski and skiing, and there's always this talk of which is the resort that you're most likely to shack up with someone else. And in recent years, it's been Val d'Isère. There's a pub there called Dick's Tea Bar where they say you cannot go home alone. And so, you know, the Pylon High Club is just basically people getting to, people shacking up on ski lifts or close to them. But you can imagine, you know, the adrenaline's up, you're away from the norm. It is a perfect time to try and be braver rather than being in a nightclub on Leeson Street and having
Dick's Tea Bar.
Yes,
okay, Dick's. I remember that. Have you ever gone skiing and all that?
No, I have not.
I've never done it either.
No, I've never been able to afford the insurance when I broke myself. So
yeah, right. I believe it's a pretty expensive one, even in its own, regardless of the insurance.
And if you are looking to shack up with someone, look at it from a sociological, demographical
sort of democolase. Try that one.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, like the Outer Hebrides has four times as many men as women. So if you want a man, go there. If you want a woman, go to Ukraine or go to Russia.
These are things I need to. That's a fantastic one for tonight in the pub. Okay, so the Outer Hebrides is four times. Did you know? Fantastic.
You know, because the women leave and the men have to look after
their
own.
And they're real men, I'd say, are they?
Exactly. And they have a bit of land, you know, an aircraft, a boat. And otherwise, now like CIE Tours is running solo trips, and the travel department, that company that's always advertising.
Sorry, CIE Tours runs solo trips outside the country?
No, in Ireland. So it's mainly for foreigners. They're focused at, you know, Americans and all the one.
Like, what kind of a thing would you be? Look, would you be on? Would you be on a bus?
Yes, just normal CIE tour around the block, you know, around
the block.
Around the Blarney Stone and Galway and Aran Islands. And CIE tours, thank God, are now coming to the Midlands for the first time ever. So they will bring, I'm sure, their trips there.
All right, okay. Yeah. All right, was there anything else you wanted to tell me?
Yeah, just in case you are totally paranoid or your parents are and say it is absolutely unsafe, America have brought over this thing, which I hate because it's preying on the fears of people, but it's called solo check-in. So for like $8.99 $9 a month or for $75 a year, they will track you wherever you are. You ring them when you're leaving your hotel or when you're going on a date, and you check or you text them, and then you text them when you're back again. And if you don't text at the hour you said you were going to text, they'll text you twice, then they'll ring you, then they'll ring your parents, then they'll ring the police, helicopter.
Are you against this?
Well, it's just so paranoid. The world is not that dangerous.
That's just a little, like, I'm on my own. I'm going out here today. I don't know where I'm going. And I put a little safety net here behind me. And off I go.
But how can you really enjoy life if you're going to be that petrified the whole time?
You've put a big needle into the balloon you've just built up over the last.
No, like, would you really do that? I'm leaving the house.
Not necessarily.
I'm back to the house now.
If it's nice to know it's there for people who want it there, Moncon.
Yes, indeed, I agree.
Right, okay, finally. Where are you going last, by the way, Moncon?
Where am I going last?
No, next.
Oh, where about?
Lastly, where are you going? Getting a few things mixed up here.
I'm off to Ibiza to get some warmth.
Really?
Yeah.
To the nightclubs, yeah?
No, I'm going to the north of the island looking for carob farms. So, and you remember in
carob.
The 80s? Yeah, in the 80s, farms. Like carob was the new thing. It was you'd cover your whole wheat bars with carob. It was a cheap alternative.
Away that day.
It was
go
a
on,
cheap alternative to chocolate, okay? And
really?
So, and it's healthier,
I'm interested.
And it grows.
Healthy chocolate.
It grew in the tropics and it grew in Ibiza, but then the price dropped, so all the farms closed down, and I'm looking to see are any of the farms still exploring and still up again.
So hold on, can I just ask, you're going off to Ibiza with this little guy, your mission, should you choose to accept it, that's what you're doing.
Yes,
fantastic.
It is.
I love it, you're doing it so we don't have to. Fantastic. Moncon McCann, it's been a pleasure as usual, thanks a million for dropping into
you're
us.
You're welcome.
Good man, enjoy Ibiza
thank
and
you.
The Caribs.
Thank you.